Okay, calling the meeting to order. Erica, call the roll.
Chair Dawson?
Chair Dawson?
Oh, it looks like he just jumped off the call.
We seem to have just lost him.
Yeah, it's recording.
Vice Chair Wilkin?
Here.
Director Miller?
Here.
Director Wilkin?
That was you,
Gary. Oh, yes, I'm here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Wall?
Here.
Director Jameson is absent. You have quorum.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the agenda and the consent agenda. Approval of the consent agenda approves the minutes from the 1/13/26 meeting and the financials from the December 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any additions or corrections? Any objections to approval of the motion? Hearing none, note that the motion to approve the agenda and the consent agenda has been approved without objection. Public comments? Anybody from the public want to comment? Anybody from the public online? Don't see anybody. Okay, so moving on to new business. I believe we're going to go into executive session before new business. Is that correct?
Yes, please.
And can I have somebody read the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter executive session to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of Interior Gas Utility, including legal advice regarding our lender, natural gas supply chain issues, and related contractual matters, to include the board of directors, General Manager Elena Sutta, Director of Operations George Deal, Executive Assistant Erica Lobrick, Attorney Zane Wilson, and IGU lobbyist Uri Morgan. Uri Morgan will be excused after the board discusses item number one.
Can I have a second to the motion?
Second.
Any comments, questions on the motion? Hearing none, seeing none, hearing none. Is there any objection to moving into executive session? Hearing none, seeing none. Note that the motion to enter into executive session is approved without objection. Okay, so we'll call the meeting back to order after the executive session and on to new business. Elena.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first item under new business is a short-term gas supply agreement. IGU needed additional LNG to ensure that our supply remains strong. That was followed by a couple of events of unscheduled maintenance that the Harvest facility has experienced. We called upon additional gas in the Cook Inlet, where IGU continues to maintain our Titan facility warm and operational and staffed. Hillcorp gave us gas under an interruptible supply agreement. We experienced different interpretation of the contract language under our First Amendment in the Cook Inlet contract. However, as you can see laid out in this packet, because of the significantly cheaper trucking that makes up for the difference in gas supply, same happens in the liquefaction. From Harvest, we bring gas supply to Fairbanks at about $19.25. What's happening now for this short term at Titan is $21.25. Even though the gas supply allows us for up to 70,000 MCF of usage, We're currently anticipating, if we go through the end of this contract, which is February 12th, to only use about 40,000 MCF for a total additional value or additional cost of about $60,000. You'll see some additional disclaimers there from me that the Titan cost might be more, but I did use the best available class data of the cost of liquefaction at $3.25, and then IGU has additional costs. So they're relatively overall negligible for on-coal operators to do offloads of untrained drivers, which is the next contract in this packet. So with that, Mr. Chairman, the staff recommends that the board authorizes gas purchases under this agreement. The total expenditure is not to exceed $945,000.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so moved in second. Any questions for Elena or comments? Seeing none, any objection to approval of the motion as presented?
None here.
Okay, so hearing none, Erica, note that the motion is passed without objection. Okay, on to the next item on the agenda.
Next item on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, is on page 11. This is another memorandum from staff. For the ratification of a single source transportation services contract with Black Gold Chemicals. In order for IGU to quickly mobilize and transport from Titan, we required additional transports. I want to say for the record and for clarification that Middle Fork has been great, and we've been working very well with them, and we this is not in any manner a reflection on the high level of the service that they have been providing. We needed this executed. Black Gold was in the best position to do that while also keep being cost conscious. It should be noted that this is a single source procurement contract that is allowed by the IGU procurement manual if time is of the essence and the contractor is uniquely qualified to meet IGU's needs. Black Gold was on the road a few hours after we were signing this contract and has been delivering from Titan. Currently, we expect to utilize Black Gold for as long as we run Titan, which is as the agreement was just approved through February 12th. However, I am asking that the board authorizes this contract or ratifies this contract for a period of 1 year so that we can have a second transportation company on backup while the North Slope supply stabilizes. And that, Mr. Chair, completes my report.
Okay, so I
so moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion is in a second to authorize the transportation agreement presented. Any questions or comments on the motion? Any objection to approval of the motion as presented?
None here.
Okay, hearing none, note that the motion has been approved without objection. Third item under new business?
Mr. Chair, the third item under new business is an authorization to conduct a single source procurement with Premier Cryogenics to purchase three additional transport trailers. So Premier Cryogenics has been the company that has been manufacturing all of our trailers for the North Slope route. We have in this year's, this fiscal year's budget authorized the purchase of 3 of these trailers. Management was going to recommend as part of the next year's budget, that we procure 3 more of these trailers. In conversations with the manufacturer, we've ordered these trailers in July of 2025. They're going to be ready slightly behind schedule in August of 2026. We were waiting in line all this time. They haven't been working on our trailers. We've been waiting in line for our turn. And they're going to start manufacturing them here shortly. We do have a unique opportunity to skip the line here for our next year's order, provided the board agrees with management that an additional 3 trailers would be justified. And because the last payment for the trailers that are already authorized will happen in next fiscal year, I'm proposing to pay the deposit and the first 20% and then the 30% for the new trailers out of this fiscal year, because that amount was all the total amount is already authorized into this year's budget, and then pay all of the deposit, all of the final payments for all 6 of the trailers out of next year's the budget, so it would not have budget impact. This would be a decision that the board would make prior to seeing the entire budget for next year, but depending on where we land with the budget for next year, we could purchase these trailers either from the marketable securities account that we have, that's leftover money for the $15 million storage credit that we've received from the state of Alaska, or we are reissuing the $10 million line of credit from Mont McKinley that was authorized 2 years ago, has expired, and we're reissuing it for another 3 years. So depending on where the budget lands, one of these will be the source of our purchase for next year. In your packet, you have the justification for why these are needed. We're talking about operational resilience. We're going to have trailers down for maintenance. Accidents are unfortunate, but they do happen, and we should plan in advance for them. Additionally, you also have in your packet some dollar amount justification for how much it costs us to transport with our older fleet, the Hiles and the Charts that we have in our fleet, versus transporting with the higher capacity Premier trailers. These 3 trailers would pay for themselves in about 9 years. I have asked the manufacturer in preparation for this meeting what the useful life of a trailer is, and though of course outside elements such as axles and wheels and whatever need to be changed, it's not unheard of that these trailers, the vessel itself has a 40 to 50 year life, as additionally evidenced by our older fleet. So with that, Mr. Chairman, management recommends that the board approve this request to order 3 more trailers and pay for them in the manner I just described.
So do I have a motion to authorize single source procurement for the trailers?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments or questions for Elena?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Gary.
Elena, are these three trailers exactly the same as those that we've already purchased?
There are 2 changes to those that we've purchased, and the axle modification is included. The board might remember that we'll perform an axle modification that has been working great, and we're getting, is George still here? Either the drum brake or the disc brake, we got one and we're getting the other, and as compared to our existing trailers, but they will be exactly as the three that we've just ordered.
Thank you. If you could confirm that with Georgia, I would like to know which it is. I believe it's the Drumbrick that we received, but I'd like to know that just for my personal information.
So we previously did receive disc brakes on the first order of trailers. Mm-hmm. We have not been experiencing any trailers on those. That was done as a weight reduction measure so that we could increase our lading capacity coming southbound. And that has been working out well for us. We are looking to implement some additional modifications, such as recovery hooks, some different port arrangements, things of that nature, and things mostly for resiliency.
So the trailers are coming our disc or drum?
It has not been formalized yet, but given our experience on the haul road so far, I'm leaning towards maintaining a disc so that we can continue that increased lading capacity.
Okay. My second question is, so my math is right, so this gives us 15 of the original new trailers, and then we ordered three more, and now this is three more for a total of 21 in the fleet. Is that correct?
21 in the fleet of these new these premier trailers.
Yes.
We will also have the six that are capable of going on the Dalton Highway as backup.
Yes. Okay, that's what I need to know. Thank you.
Derek?
In FY26, did we budget $1.2 million for trailers?
Yes.
And our plan was to budget $1.2 million in FY27 as well?
That was what management was going to recommend. I can't speak to whether or not the board would have approved it.
Okay. But our plan, your intent from a management perspective,
correct,
was to always do this. It's just the sequencing and the timing is
correct,
changed up.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments for Elena? Any objections to approval of the motion as presented?
None here.
Hearing none, note that the motion is approved without objection. Okay, so next on the agenda is Finance Committee report. And so note that the Finance Committee recommended that the board approve the financials as presented, which we did as part of the consent agenda. Just a couple of comments that we talked about in the Finance Committee meeting. And so I'm on page 19 of the packet. Just a note there, starting on line 12, where we talk about cash on hand versus budget and market securities versus budget. You can see that it's 6.3, the sum of the two, versus 5.7 as far as the budget goes. So when you combine the two, we are above budget. And not only that, we still have a $1.15 million credit against transportation that I like to add to those amounts, and which would be, you know, in the marketable securities if we hadn't spent it in getting the credit back. So at $7.45 million. So all told, we're considerably ahead of budget in that regard. Then I want to go to the dashboard, which is on page 29 of the packet. And a couple things there. And I want to, I'm just going to point this out and ask Elena to comment on them, is that the We were at the end of November, 90,000, 91,000 under budget as far as 5 million gallon tank levels, and now we're 1.1 million beyond. So considerable drop. The drop itself is not a big deal, 300,000, but we're now 1.1 million beyond below budget. Can you comment on that for us, Lena?
Yes, so these financials are as of the end of December. Mm-hmm. There's two reasons why at the end of December we were below budget with inventory levels. One was higher consumption than anticipated. December was much colder. Secondly, the budget anticipated that we're going to go to, we're going to switch to the North Slope for production on October 1st, and we're going to pick up 75,000 gallons per day from there, and that did not happen until December 1st, and so Titan did not produce as much. Titan and Cryo Peak combined did not deliver as much as Harvest would have.
But this is as of the end of December.
Correct.
1.1 million.
Correct.
And Harvest was providing gas during December.
So they provided as budgeted for December, but in November and October we did not get as budgeted volumes.
Seems like we'd still be just 90,000 under budget if
90,000 gallons, $10,000, $10,000.
This is. These are LNG inventory levels in gallons, I believe.
Yeah, 90,000 gallons. That's seven trailers worth.
Right, and then, but we're 1.1 million under budget in December,
right,
when we got as much gas as we wanted from Harvest, is that correct?
Yes.
So
in December we did, but we did not start December with as much inventory as we anticipated. We actually were quite close.
Yeah, we were only 90,000 under.
Yeah.
At the end of November.
So it's more consumption. It's more consumption in November. Let me look at the MCF. Gross sales. Between purchase. So we sold 10,000 MCF more than budgeted in December alone, and that is 131,000 gallons.
So that we dropped.
So that's not enough to justify. Can I take this question?
I think we had a better explanation at the Finance Committee meeting anyway. So there is some explanation. We can circle back on that another time. I wanted to point out that that debt cover ratio went from green in November to red in December, but still it's below the budget, but still we're well above the required 1.3, I believe.
1.35
that we had to have. So that's fine. Also point out that when we're looking at actual versus budget, we were 82 cents per MCF higher than budgeted year to date, and Zach and, well, let's see, it wasn't Zach at the meeting,
Buffy
at the meeting, and Elaine assured me that we're going to catch up by the end of the year. And the same thing with the next sheet when we talk about and they're looking at the annual budget versus projected. The projected now is about 41 cents. 51 cents. Excuse me, 49 cents above the annual budget, which also is expected to be corrected before the end of the year. Any questions? Okay, so we'll move on to the operations report.
So based on my limited connectivity here at the plant, I was going to skip my summary and just answer any questions that the board may have.
Jack, Jim.
Questions for George?
Yeah, can you hear me, Jack?
I can hear you, Jim. Go ahead.
George, do you have any more detail on the rollover of the truck for Mill 4?
So the most recent information that the rollover was caused by two passed for conditions, that the spill was reported to DEC and they had no concerns with what was going on, and that the tanker was not actually ruptured, it was just the breaking off of a relief valve that caused for the spill.
So 100% of the gas discharged through the relief valve?
Yes, that is correct.
And George, any information on insurance from the trucking company, or do you know that?
We're working.
I don't have that information at this time.
We're working with Middle Fork for repairs. They're taking full responsibility.
You say repairs. Is it repairable?
We have contacted the manufacturer who's going to come. Who's going to come here to assess that and let us know. We don't know yet.
Okay, thank you.
And are they responsible for the gas also?
Yes.
Any other questions for George?
I guess I'd like to follow on with what Alina said, and on behalf of the board, thank George for instant response to a mini crisis we were having. So once again, you've shown yourself to be a worthy member of the team, and I thank you for it.
Glad to help.
Glad you're helping.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, so next on the agenda is General Manager's report.
Not a lot to report on here that we didn't already discuss. A couple of items that are not on here. On Friday, we're going to receive our feedback on our Defense Communities Infrastructure Program grant. That grant that we applied for to connect the Fairbanks with the North Pole systems, and then we're going to start working on that, on the new application. I'm not giving up on that project. The other piece of the actual good news is that $3 million for expanding gas infrastructure was included in the final appropriations bill we worked through Senator Murkowski on that. We don't know the mechanism by which this is going to come to us, but were any specific grant requirements about the specific project they want us to work on. But it's in there. It was in there last year, but the Congress did not vote to have any congressional direct spending. Assuming there will be the chances that Congress as a whole takes it, particular issue with any specific items are relatively small, so we should see that money coming to us. That concludes my report, unless there are any questions.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead, Gary.
So, Lena, do we have a new board member?
We do. Erica and I looked at the North Pole City Council, where Erica did and told me about it, at the North Pole City of North Pole agenda meeting, and Jeff Jacobson was appointed to the IGU board. I have not yet made contact with him. That just happened yesterday.
Good. That's good news. Thank you.
Comments, questions? I have one, Elena. The $3 million, are we going to have to compete for that $3 million, or is that ours if it goes through?
It's congressional direct spending, so Senator Murkowski put it in specific. It doesn't go through any other entity unless I don't believe it will go through any other entity. It will just come to us. I'm not sure the mechanism. I don't even know if it's going to be a reimbursable grant or a straight funding that we didn't have to report on. Mm-hmm. We'll be working with her staff on that.
And is there something in the Alaska legislature also for us for infrastructure spending?
We put in a request every year. We ask for $20 million every year. Will staff put in the $4.5 million a couple of years ago, then the governor vetoed two of it. So we're still working with what we have remaining out of the $2.5 million. But that was, we were asking every year. 2 years ago was the first year that anything actually got put in for, but we're going to keep asking.
Is that, do you know if that's part of the chamber's priorities and all that request?
No.
Any other questions for Elena? Okay, IG, the attorney report.
So IGU continues to have relatively modest legal involvement, which is a good thing. I'm happy to hear Mr. Jacobson. I hadn't heard he'd been appointed to the board. He's been involved in the North Pole City Council for many years. I think you'll find he's a good person to work with, reasonable fellow. So I think that's good news for IGU. And as of that, I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Zay, this is Jim.
Yeah.
Do we have any liability you can see on the National Guard incident?
There was no national recommendation to postpone until we can speak in private.
Orlando, would you say that one more time, or just take your hands and move your mouth?
But I can take Jim, or Richard Dawson. I wouldn't want to discuss legal matters of that nature in an open session. That would be something we need to talk about privately.
Okay, thank you.
Derek?
I'd just like to respectfully request from Zane a more concise written memo to the board, less verbose written memo to the board.
We only have so much time.
I'm always happy to answer questions, but I try to keep it short.
Okay, so on the director request for information, Pete, anything? Derek, anything? Jim?
Thank you, Jack, for covering my duties, and I appreciate it, and I plan to get better soon.
I hope so. We're not quite to closing comments yet. We're at director's request for information. Do you have anything, Gary?
Request for information, no, I do not.
Okay. Sherry, do you have any request for information?
No, I do not, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Pete, did you have something?
Just a quick thing. Do we have a report that you did? Have you ever compared purchasing from CryoSeek versus keeping Titan? Did you ever do an analysis? I'm sure you did, but whether you published that or whether you
formalized that. I showed that to you.
Yeah. Well, if next time. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Closing comments. Oh, excuse me. Gary, you have another... You have a request for information?
No, I don't.
Okay. Closing comments. Elena, do you have any closing comments? Zane, any closing comments?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Directors, Pete, closing comments?
Negative.
Derek, closing comments? Gary, closing comment?
None.
Gary, closing comment?
Yes, I'd like to thank Zane and Elena for working through that whole issue, and hopefully we have a resolution. I know that's been hanging out there for a while, and they are the battling the Goliath, and I think they're doing a great job. So thank you so much.
Jim, any closing comments?
No, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, so I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.